So, who would have thought that getting picked on all the time growing up, having deformed legs, starting a salsa company out of my dorm room in college and running it into the ground would have ever been the thing that would have allowed me to become a multimillionaire? I mean, it's a very strange thing if you stop and think about it. And I just recently had the honor of doing an interview with someone who's become a very, very important person to me in my life. And this person's name, I'll tell you in just a moment, but I met him, I believe we met for the first time in the Galapagos Islands, or at least on the way to the Galapagos Islands. And I got to spend time with him and his amazing wife. And they really started to shift my perception on the way that I looked at the world. And this shift allowed me to start living a better life. It started to allow me to deliver I've never been a balanced individual. And honestly, I've never really valued balance. It's not really my thing. And I know that people think balance is important. And if you're one of those balance people, rock and roll, keep it up. But like personally, I prefer extremes. And spending time with these guys, first in Galapagos, and then after I joined their coaching program, has allowed me to live a more balanced life in ways that are important while spending more times on the fringe and more times in the extreme where I want to. And so I now spend more time with my family than I used to. I make more money than I used to. I enjoy the work that I'm doing more than I used to. And I'm doing work that means more now than I used to. The people that I'm talking about are Dan Sullivan and Bab Smith, who together created Strategic Coach, which has been an incredibly influential training program for me. And recently, I had the extraordinary opportunity to do an interview with Dan on how and why the internet is important, how people are using it in order to make more money, to enrich more lives, in order to transform the world, how entrepreneurs everywhere are tapping into the power of the internet and leveraging it as a multiplier to achieve extraordinary results in helping more people to do more amazing things in their respective industries. And so after doing this interview, I was so excited. I really wanted to share it with you because I thought it was the best interview that I've ever been involved with. And it was every time I listened to it, I learned something. And I hope that you will too. So go ahead and tune in. This is probably going to be the best hour of your life. So I'll talk to you on the other side.
Where was the start of your interest and then constantly getting better in the internet marketing field? Where did that all start?
The first kind of introduction and when I started looking at the internet as a way of making money or doing business came back to my first business that I originally started out of my dorm room in college, which was Tillman's Salsa. It was a salsa company that I started with my now wife, girlfriend at the time. And I was just having a hard time selling it in the quantities that I wanted to as a one-man operation, driving around to different health food stores, natural food stores. I was doing all the work myself, making the salsa, selling the salsa while I was going to college full-time and running on a national-level cross-country team. It was just putting insane hours. And so that's when I first started looking into the internet, but I didn't really figure anything out with the salsa company. I had about six failed businesses after that before I actually learned how to run a business that was profitable. And the first profitable business that I ran was when I was a hypnotherapist for about 6.5 years. I ended up having six offices. I was working one day a week in each office. I didn't have any employees, and I was doing, 12 to 14 hours a day, seeing clients one-on-one. And at that point, I was about $200,000 in debt between credit card debt and college loan debt.
And I did some math on how much profit I was making from doing hypnosis sessions. It was $75 a session. And I discovered that I was going to have to work for something like 7.5 years at that rate in order to pay off my debt, never mind actually make any profit. And I realized that wasn't going to work. So I really got serious about internet marketing when I moved to saying, hey, how can I sell recordings of my knowledge? In this case, my knowledge was doing hypnosis sessions online. And that's why I full-on dove into internet marketing so I could break free from being reliant on one-off sessions, seeing clients.
So you got a multiplier. You saw the multiplier right there. That was the big thing for you.
Exactly.
Now, was there a role model that you were basing this on? I mean, someone else you had seen work with it?
It was kind of a funny example. Prior to going online, I started doing some direct response stuff with my private hypnosis practice. I had been looking for hypnosis marketing materials, and I found a chiropractic marketing home study course. And I called the guy and said, look, can I apply this stuff to hypnosis? And he said, oh, if you're innovative, I guess. And so I spent the $500 or whatever it was to get this binder full of all these ads for chiropractors and all these direct response sales letters, pre-recorded voice message scripts, and so on. And I just modified them for weight loss, smoking, stress, and attention deficit disorder from back pain, neck pain, you know, that kind of stuff that chiropractors see. And I started placing little classified ads that drove to pre-recorded messages where people would leave their address and I would manually ship them a booklet that explained about how you can quit smoking with hypnosis. And then I got really bored stuffing envelopes and stopped doing it on time and stopped following the system. It was, as soon as it became routine, I said, this stinks. There's no way I can keep doing this forever. And I wasn't financially secure enough, either literally or in my mind, to hire somebody to do the boring work. So that didn't last, but it was a really good experience. Then later on, I decided, okay, I've got to learn how to do this stuff. So I started reading ebooks and free newsletters because I really couldn't afford any of the big expensive internet marketing home study courses that were out there and so on. And I discovered what I now call the least common denominator within internet marketing, which is a concept called list building and building your email list, which is the core of my business and is the core of what I teach now. So I had some models, absolutely, and I learned from Joshua Shaffrin, who is a great friend and mentor going through his program eventually. But what I put all the pieces together with was, look, I've got to build a large email list and mail that email list about things that they're interested in buying, and that's a great way to make money. So I started doing that, and I started interviewing a wide variety of internet marketers and authors and publishers on the topic of email marketing and list building. And as I interviewed them, I asked them for their single best list building or email marketing technique. They told me, and I implemented it. And I kept doing the ones that worked the best more. But more specifically on the internet, the one thing that was really exciting was I found that I could automate a lot of the pieces that in the direct mail world weren't as easy to automate. So from my apartment, I could automate a business to do all the boring stuff for me, and I could just keep implementing the new creative, interesting things. And that worked really, really, really well.
I started learning about internet marketing through our friend Joe Polish. And Joe just always talked about you. And then Joe introduced me to a whole bunch of other people. And they all mentioned you. And so you've kind of established yourself even with people who are really, really successful in this industry. But there's a niche that you've really established for yourself. And were you aware? I mean, did you go after that, which is the list building thing? Did you go after that? Or this is just the way it happened?
I eventually went after it, but it was as a result of desire from my subscribers and customers. What happened was I wanted to learn list building so that I could sell recordings of my hypnosis sessions. And in the process, I interviewed all these people on the topic of list building. Mm-hmm. I implemented what I learned, and I reported back to my subscribers what was working and what wasn't. And I was selling the products of all of my interviewees through their affiliate programs. So my first year online, I ended up doing about $800,000 in sales from my apartment with no startup budget, right? Selling other people's stuff. I didn't have my own product. And what ended up happening was really, really interesting because my subscribers started writing to me asking me what the best list building course was out there. And I couldn't find one that was really great that actually explained how to do this stuff. One weekend, I had the idea on a Friday evening to start a product that was called My First List. And so I decided to do a series of teleseminars that were done live explaining my 9-step process for building your first list. And it was a smash hit. It was a smash success. By Sunday morning, I was selling copies of a product that didn't exist. And I'm still selling the product today, you know, 4.5 years later. So it was very cool. What ended up happening was I became the center point of the niche. I became the center point of the topic because even though I was interviewing all of these people who were making more money than me, I was interviewing people that had bigger lists than me, I was interviewing people that had more knowledge than me and more expertise than me in the subject matter, I was the one person that kept on popping up in people's mind because I did so many interviews with folks with those areas of expertise. And the reality was all of the subscribers that I got from implementing those techniques were on my list, not their lists. And lo and behold, everyone wanted to learn list building from me. And after I created my first product, I created my second product, third product, fourth product, then we bought listbuilding.com and so on and so forth.
Talman, I have a lot of different industries, and you know, we have the real estate industry, and their great mantra is location, location, location. And ever since I've been involved with people who are involved in the internet, all I've heard is list, list, list. Can you explain the power of it, why lists are the very, very center of becoming a great, successful internet marketer?
Sure. Well, really, it's a lot like church. And I don't actively go to church, but I used to. And when you have a church that's running and functioning, you have a community. You have a group of people that all believe in one centralized, focused topic. Now, they might have different viewpoints on it, and they might have different intricacies and different variations on that topic. They might have different political affiliations and different personal interests and different careers, but they all are interested in basically that same religious premise, right? And they're all willing to give money every single week in different amounts to help support their community. And when you build a list properly, that's really what you're doing, is you're creating a community of people who are all interested in one centralized focused topic. And you're the preacher, okay? You're the person that's bringing them the new, the interesting, the relevant information. You're the one that's helping to get their questions answered and connecting them up with each other in order for them to go deeper into that area of study, that area of focus, whatever it is. So just because you're building a list doesn't mean you're building a religion. But what it does mean is you're building a community of people who are all interested in the same thing. And it's a lot easier to start by picking a topic where people are already gathering together interested in that one thing. So if you want people to pay you to create value in their lives, and you want them to do it in droves over and over and over again, you really need to find that one centralized thing that you believe in, that you really like thinking about day in and day out, and are constantly researching, studying, finding out more information about because you like to, and then bringing that information back out to those people. Now, it doesn't have to be an information product we're talking about here. It can be anything, right? It can be hot sauce. It can be barefoot running. It can be a specific type of product of any type. But the reality is that built-in passion, if you're starting with an existing built-in passion that people already have, an existing built-in interest that people already have, it's a lot easier to lead a group of people who are looking for a leader than to form a group of people and force them to believe that you should lead them.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, the model, if I can use another word that's used a lot on the internet, is aggregator. You became the aggregator of all the experts' information on list building.
Yeah, on list building. And then eventually what I realized is, as powerful of a term as list building is, the reality is most people don't use list building as a coffee table term, right? They do use the word email. Mm-hmm. And so as my business has grown more and more, it's actually shifted in a way from list building to email marketing, because corporations talk about email marketing. Individual people talk about email marketing at this point. Very few people use or have ever used or will ever use the actual word list building. And so I've learned that the subject that my list, that my tribe of people are focused on, I've learned how to kind of pop up to a wider level and a wider scope as time has progressed.
Just to give the people who are listening to this audio an idea, how big is your list? Or you have different kinds of lists for different things now?
I definitely have different kinds of lists for different things, and we're rapidly doing some cool expansion on that. My general marketing list right now is only about 200,000 people. I've probably gone through, I don't know, almost 2 million people because I email my list very aggressively. And I've tried some different strategies over the years on that. At the end of the day, the size of your list actually isn't the most important thing. Whether or not it's growing is extremely important. If your list is getting bigger every day, it's really your investment. And that means your investment is getting bigger every single day. If it's getting smaller, then some alarms should go off in your head and you focus more attention on getting more people in the front door. So my main subscriber list on the topic of list building and email marketing is about 200,000 people. Then we have about 80,000 customers on top of that. Then I have about 30,000 people who are interested in attention deficit disorder, and right now about 5,000 people interested in barefoot running, and I have some other side project lists just based on various eccentric interests I have. But the main core list right now is about 200,000. It was about 250,000 before I started running across the country, and that's a whole other story. It atrophied and got smaller, and after I got back, I realized why our profits were steadily going down and turned the ship around, so to speak. But the core of our business is based in the list size, and some people have much smaller lists that are incredibly, incredibly profitable. So whether or not your list is growing on a daily basis, you can kind of look at it a little bit like working out in any way, shape, or form. Are you progressively able to lift heavier weights or do more repetitions or whatever your measurement tool is with exercise? If the answer is yes, then you're making progress. If the answer is no, then maybe you should be doing some different exercises.
Now, we're going to talk about some of your successes and some of the breakthroughs that you've had based on the foundation that's been described. But just in the industry, because you hang out with a very interesting group of people who I've, you know, been at conferences with and I met them. What I got the feeling was, because the internet marketing is internet dependent, you know, it's dependent upon the vehicle, which hasn't been around for all that long. But I began to think it was almost like the beginning of the advertising industry or something, like if you were around in the 1920s and radio came along and people started out, learned how to mass distribute publications and everything else. Do you have that sense that this is kind of like a pioneering group of people right now?
Absolutely. And it's beginning right now. It's just beginning to mature. There are just beginning to become some regulations involved. The Can Spam Act was a major breakthrough there that starts putting some regulations and some constraints on people so they have some rules to follow, right? There are rules that are made and kind of assumed that sometimes you can break and get away with. And then, of course, there are laws, and that's a whole different deal. But the interesting thing about the internet that makes it a little bit different is, even though it's a medium for distributing a message or distributing a sales message, it's a medium in which constant change is a factor. And when I look at radio or I look at TV, it's pretty simple, right? You basically have a sound wave, or you have a push video environment in the case of TV, where there are only so many options for interacting. You know, on the internet, the options for ways in which people can interact seem to grow by leaps and bounds on a daily basis. So the room for innovation within the medium has been exponentially expanded. I don't know how far it will go or if it will ever end. My experience is that the internet is now encompassing TV. The internet is encompassing the phone. The internet is encompassing radio. All of these are now able to run through the internet and have become part of the internet. So I think the internet is more than a delivery mechanism. I think it's a whole new, extremely flexible structure that new mediums will be bolted onto for a long time into the future.
You have heroes, obviously, in the world that you're operating in. Can you give some examples? And what I always find really striking is some of these knockout launches that people have when they launch a new product, because it's really show business. And it's almost like launching a new film and knowing by 12 o'clock on Friday night whether you have the hit or not. When you've released the film at 6 o'clock that night, you pretty well know whether you're going to do it. So I'd like you just, you know, to pick out two or three examples of launches that have just really impressed you enormously.
Well, I've done a few launches, and launches are very much like the film industry or very much like the video game industry. I personally don't like getting involved with them too much. And the reason I don't like getting involved with them too much is because of the massive spikes of income that you get. If you have any kind of a staff whatsoever and you have to manage cash flow in your business whatsoever, then having a massive spike of income after, you know, 3 months of work and not getting paid, and then that income drops off, and then you turn around and have a certain percentage of refunds that inevitably will happen with the launch because people buy in a frenzy whether or not they actually want or need your product. That's very disruptive to cash flow in the business. On the other hand, the interesting thing about launches, and just in the past few years, there's been an exponential increase in how much money people have managed to make from their homes in a minimal amount of time. So just a few years ago, John Reese did the first $1 million day, and that was a huge breakthrough. That was not too long after I started online. And now, I think just recently, Mike Koenigs was involved in, I believe, a $10 million launch. And when we can work with a handful of people and be making millions and millions of dollars from, you know, a couple of laptops and a few really smart brains, it's a pretty amazing thing. Launches are really good, but the downside to them is the amount of hype that is involved in a launch and the amount of boasting and bragging that happens is often very misleading. So
let's turn it around. What is your preferred approach? Do you have sort of like a drip effect? Do you build and build and build?
Yeah. What I tend to focus on is, number one, trying to beat how much money we made last month, right? And number two is make sure that our subscriber base is steadily climbing so that we're steadily generating, whenever we send out an email, we're steadily generating more clicks than the day before. Whenever we have a sales process, we're trying to improve the efficiency of that sales process on a regular basis. And, you know, I tend to be ADD and all over the place and get really excited by big numbers and big bangs. So going against the launch principle and the launch premise actually takes a fair amount of discipline for me. But we have 22 full-time people, and if I don't manage cash flow correctly, then things get a little tight, right? As we continue to grow and add on more people, and then we have profit sharing and give people raises, and the next thing I know, you know, we have twice as much money going out every month, and I hadn't necessarily been paying attention to cash flow. My business is 5 years old, and I'm learning about how to be a little bit more mature in terms of running the day-to-day business. So I really, really like focusing all of my attention on make sure the list gets bigger. And on average, we tend to find that most people will consistently earn $1 per month per subscriber. Now, for free subscribers, sometimes you'll find that's as high as $5, $6, $7, even $10 per month per subscriber if you do some sort of a launch or some sort of super successful promotion. But on average, if you average it out over the course of a year, over the course of 2 years, most people find $1 per month per subscriber. And as that list gets older, as your business gets older and more mature, that number frequently will actually go down because there are people on your list that are maybe no longer responsive, or people on your list that are literally dead and aren't checking their email anymore, or people that are filtering your messages and anticipate looking at them later but then never do. So $1 per month per subscriber, focusing on more people in than are leaving and finding more ways of increasing the traffic to your website so that you get more subscribers on a regular basis is really the key. In the last several months, I've made a major transition. All 22 of my employees now spend the first 3 hours of their day working in teams to get more people to our website. And we track those numbers by team and by profit and how many subscribers each team gets every single day and every single week. So a little bit more than a third of my entire staff's energy is now being put toward growing our list on a daily basis. And it's just been showing incredible, incredible results as the entire team has been focused on that and that alone.
One of the things that I'm very curious about, and I think because it's an area of mystery, you know, if you've been dealing in, say, marketplace transactions as a salesperson of a product or a service, or you have a company that uses fairly conventional means of advertising in the marketplace, I think that the internet is very enticing. It seems very intriguing to a lot of people, but they just don't know where to start. You know, you've really, really thought this through because you, first of all, had to educate yourself, and then you became sort of the educator of other people. Just to give a few ideas how someone who might be you know, a bit hesitant. It's a new medium. They really don't know where they're going. What would be just a first couple steps to get going so that they can start getting comfortable with this?
Sure. Well, the good news is that I've trained over 80,000 people how to get started online, right? And so through the course and the process of working with that many people, we've gotten a lot of good feedback. The easiest place to start is to go and register a domain name in your name. So dansullivan.com. And to start blogging on a daily basis on that domain. So to set up a blog there, and every single day, no matter what, you do a blog post. Now, that blog post might be, I say this a little bit facetiously, but in all seriousness, it might be a single lowercase letter B, period, and then you publish it for absolutely no other reason than to make sure you publish something every single day. The important part here is getting in the habit of writing to your audience on a daily basis, right? Now, if you want to publish a YouTube video that someone else put together that you like, great. If you want to say something about what your cat did earlier that day, fine. If you want to talk about a personal interest you have or an article you read in the newspaper or a book you've been reading or a seminar you attended or a conversation you had or a dream you had or what you ate for breakfast, that's great. But the point is to get in the habit of publishing something on the internet every single day, first thing in the morning, before you do anything else. Start writing to your audience. That's step one.
Oh, that's great. And as you indicated before, this can absolutely be about anything, right?
It really can. Now, that doesn't mean absolutely anything will be profitable, okay? But if you get in the habit of communicating with a potential audience every single day, over time, what you're going to find is there are certain things you like writing about. There are certain things that people give you feedback on and really enjoy and say, hey, that was a really great article on such and such a topic, or thanks for posting that, or yeah, that was a funny video. And what you'll find is with practice, if you haven't chosen a niche or a business that you're actually in yet, which is unlikely, I'm guessing, for most of the people listening to this recording, if you're just trying to get started, writing about anything is fine. And one of the reasons for that is when you're writing to an audience, especially online, where there's so many options for people, the number one thing you have to always be is the most interesting. You have to be the most interesting email in the inbox, the most interesting blog post that someone's going to read that day. Now, if you're just getting started, you're probably not going to be the most interesting because you're probably not going to be very good at writing yet. The way you get good at writing is by practicing. Okay. So, by the way, if you're terrible at writing and you've made the commitment to never get good at it, then you can always record something in a video or an audio podcast as well. And, you know, if absolutely necessary and you have a terrible accent, you can hire someone else to do it based on your ideas and you can put it together an outline for it. But the main point is you want to be writing about something that you really care about and that you're really mentally engaged in. That will bring you followers faster and quicker than anything else.
Talman, I can see how you would develop an audience for this. You know, people who really are interested every day, they'll do a check to Talman Write Anything every day. But where does the crossover come from to that actually translating into cash?
Sure. So when you're starting to use the internet to grow your business, a lot of people will start by giving quote-unquote content to people that don't even exist yet. And most of the time when you're trying to give content, it's boring, okay? You cannot be boring online. There's so much boring stuff freely available to everyone. And the reality is, whether you're sending email or whether you're blogging, in most cases, that's going to be freely available to people. So as you said, there's no money there, right? But capturing people's interest is where it starts. The second thing is, after being the most interesting, you need to be the most relevant to what the people that you're writing to are actually interested in their lives. So if you're talking about being the most relevant, the question is, how do you get people to actually pay you? Well, what's your product? What's your service? XYZ, whatever it is, you need to be interesting first, catch their attention, and relevant, answering their questions, helping them solve the problems that they have in their life, or helping them to improve in the areas that they're looking to improve. So be interesting first, and then translate that over into giving people value or content that can help them improve their lives in some way, shape, or form that has to do with what they're interested in. So, for example, right, let's say you're in the real estate business and let's say you help real estate agents sell more homes. Well, you're going to want to focus on capturing the attention of the real estate agent who maybe is on your email list or is reading your blog by talking about some crazy omelet that you made. You know, maybe the topic is hot peppers, cheddar cheese, and pistachios. And you've made this very crazy experimental omelet for breakfast, and you go on to talk about a crazy experimental technique that you tried one time to sell more homes. And here's how it works. Bing, bing, bing. So after you are the most relevant, then you want to go ahead and move on by letting people see a sales pitch, letting them go to your sales letter, letting them go to your sales video, letting them call, whatever it is that you're selling. That's the next key point. So step one, be the most interesting. Step two, be the most relevant and move people from the area of relevancy into your crafted sales message with whatever it is you're trying to sell.
What about the situation of someone does not want to necessarily sell something on the internet, but they want to attract customers to something that they're already selling?
Okay, so if you want to attract customers, again, being the most interesting first on a regular basis, being the most relevant to answer those questions that the customers have, to help those customers do the things that they're trying to do. And then the question is, let's say you're trying to sell something you already have. Well, what's your method of selling? Is it having someone call you? Is it establishing an appointment with you? With selling, it's either going to happen through a face-to-face conversation, a phone conversation. If it's not going to happen online, then those are basically your options, right? Mm-hmm. Some sort of an interaction. So you simply then, rather than having people go to an order form or a sales letter online, they might dial a phone number, right? Or they might set up an appointment with you, whatever is the case. So you can easily translate internet interactivity into offline activity simply by developing a strong following.
Just an example from our case, right after 9/11, I got a sense that people were really in a funk, and I put together a 10-point thing called the Scary Times Success Manual. We just sent it out, and I said, you know, anybody that you want to reproduce this and send it to somebody else. And it was just how to look at things when they're scary times. We were just using email at that time. People were faxing it and everything else. But we kind of have evidence that we hit 10 million people in about 30 days. Then that went to sleep for about 7-8 years. And then in 2008, we reissued this thing. And it's the biggest draw that we have, you know, that we just give them this, and it's a powerful piece of content, and we send it. But our whole point in our business is to bring them to our webpage, to our home site, and then, you know, I mean, we're selling an item that would require anywhere from probably a $5,000 to a $20,000 investment to get into the program. So, you know, we can still draw people with content to bring them into that kind of relationship, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you have all of your different books and CDs that are out there that you sell different ways. And all of those, again, drive people back. So when you're talking about doing something similar online, rather than a book, you're talking a PDF, right? Rather than the CD, we're talking about an MP3. And you can circulate those in a wide variety of different ways online and drive people back to whatever sales mechanism it is that's working the best for you at the time.
Yeah. One of the points that I make for a lot of people, if you're really good at what you do, you have a phenomenal amount of information in your head that you think everybody knows, but they don't know it.
Right.
So when you're working with, you've had 80,000 people take your course, and of course, some of those people have become very well known to you, I'm sure, just like anyone else. What have you noticed happen to the knowledge they already had when they began using your steps? If I could characterize a before and after, you know, a path that someone takes when they've been Telemanized, what happens to the existing knowledge that they just sort of had locked away in their head? What happens to it?
Well, that's the beauty of information marketing. And regardless of what it is you're selling, when you're distributing your brain on the internet, really what you're doing is information marketing, whether you're selling information or not. So what ends up happening is people become more engaged with the things they already love. Because in most cases, I talk to people out in the quote-unquote real world who say, oh, I don't want to do what's really important to me for work because I don't want it to become work. Well, I don't know anyone who has made more than $1 million online that has ever said that. What I find is the more money people make online, as long as they're doing it morally and ethically, they find ways to take their personal interests and their personal passions and turn it into more and more money so they can spend more time doing the things that are more fun to them because it's no longer work. Work is now one of the most fun things they could possibly do. And they have to tear themselves away from it just to take a breather, right? And this is one of the most exciting things in the world. So I'll use barefoot running as an example. In the last 2 years, I've become very interested in barefoot running and began running across the country to raise money for charity. And that's great. But now we have a barefoot running course. We have a barefoot running social network. I have a barefoot running list. And I can think about barefoot running every day. I can make money from barefoot running. I can go out barefoot running, and then I can write about barefoot running to my list of people that are interested in barefoot running, and they'll pay me to do it. And that's just a side project. So that's a very exciting thing for me personally. Mm-hmm. What I found is that, you know, I have one student that took our course and ended up creating a giant list around the topic of triathlons. Previously, he had no way of making money with triathlons. He's a full-time triathlete now, and he's self-sponsored because he is able to take all of his knowledges and experience around the topic of triathlons, share it with people who want to learn about triathlons, maybe are just getting started or are trying to get better. He is, in many cases, better than, and can share his most cutting-edge knowledge and expertise with them in an environment. He gets to spend more time with more triathletes, and they pay him to do it. So that's a great example. I have another student who did it around the topic of raw foods. Same basic process. The guy was really interested in raw foods. He was just learning how to start making money online. He took our course, went through our process, and bam, built this giant list of people interested in raw foods. And now he makes money every day, day in and day out, by educating people about what he spent years learning about on his own, which is, in this case, raw foods. Yet again, I have another student who did around the topic of kettlebells. I didn't really have any idea what a kettlebell was, but it's a big metal ball with a handle on it that you use to work out with. Apparently, it's a very popular topic. He went through our process, built a giant list around the topic of kettlebells, and now has a full-time business around that topic. He used to be a personal trainer. So now people are graduating from doing something that they have to do for work in order to make money, in order to be able to spend more time doing and thinking about the things that they love doing and thinking about in order to make more money. And work all of a sudden becomes a joy to do, which is, in my opinion, the epitome of work. I mean, if you're going to do work, you might as well enjoy. If you're going to spend most of your time doing work, you might as well love what you're doing.
One of my blogs that I check in with every day is a guy by the name of Tyler Cowen, and he's got a blog. And apparently, this is one of the most heavily hit blogs in the world. It's called Marginal Revolution. He wrote a book several years ago about creating your own economy, and he said that, you know, the future really belongs to people who are either really ADD or slightly autistic, you know, what he calls functional autistics, and that is that they just go very, very deep with subjects and have absolutely no reason to do so. And then suddenly discovered this medium or this universe called the internet, and they just start talking about what they're discovering by going deep. It almost seems to me like your barefoot running and some of the other examples you gave, that you have a passion about going deep on some subject and finding out everything about it. You're doing it on a daily basis. And then you're just sharing your explorations and your discoveries with a group of people that you didn't really know was out there until you started publishing your thoughts. Is that kind of if I had to characterize what a lot of people are doing with this, that's what's actually happening?
You know, that's the beginning of it. The next phase where things start engaging on a whole nother level is when you start sharing the thoughts and explorations of the people on your list and in the community that you form. So all of a sudden, you've learned how to publish and distribute information, knowledge, experience, so on and so forth that you've found. People love you for it, and they like your tone or the way in which you express yourself. If you all of a sudden turn your focus back on your readers and then pick out your readers or your viewers who are your listeners who are actively exploring the same subject, and you point out where they're doing amazing things, now you become essentially Oprah, right? You become someone who's pointing out someone else who's a follower of you who's doing something amazing. And that's where things really start to explode, because you develop a followership that absolutely cannot be stopped. They cannot get that type of attention anywhere else in the universe. It's simply not possible. So I agree wholeheartedly. Going very, very deep on these areas of passion and areas of interest is a huge, huge opportunity, and it's one that most business owners simply are too self-conscious to begin with. And so when you get a functionally autistic or an extremely ADD, easily distracted person who simply isn't paying attention to what everybody else is saying or thinking, they can go deep with that without looking back, and it works very, very well.
Yeah. So just from a technological standpoint, most people would grasp the idea of setting up a blog And in a certain sense, they're being a broadcaster here. You know, I mean, they're sending out. But what is the technological mechanism for then opening it up? Is it a forum? What are you doing to actually do it? You're just getting lots of emails back? Is that what's happening?
Well, this is where the piece that we were talking about earlier, where you are looking at the internet and all the new technologies that are being bolted onto it, comes in. This is changing all of the time. You know, at the time of this recording, things are just exploding, and I think they're only going to explode more. So you need to be able to grasp the piece of technology that you can understand and work with, mm-hmm. and realize that that will grow and morph and change over time. Simply having the ability to respond to a blog and a blog comment is one example. Having an email come back after you ask your list a series of questions is another way of doing it. There's another great tool out there that I use a fair amount called User Voice, where you can actually have your subscribers or your customers give you suggestions on ways that you can improve a product or service or a new type of product or service that you might want to roll out. And then those very same users can vote up each other's ideas, right? So you can see your community vote up the ideas that are submitted by the community. That's a concept called crowdsourcing, right? You can interact with people on something like Twitter or something like Facebook, any of the existing social networks. Or you can start one of your own using a service like Ning or SocialGo. So there's no limit to the ways in which you can get interaction and feedback. But getting it in the form of an email is a great place to start. It's a simple and easy place to start.
Yeah. I'd be remiss as I'm going along here, Talman, if I didn't give people a chance to really connect with you. So just from the standpoint of the basic course, which, you know, you've used to train 80,000 people, how do they get a hold of this? If they're listening to this, how do they get a hold of this program?
Sure. Well, we've refined it and defined it in a lot of ways. And the most updated version you can go check out at internetsellingsystem.com.
Right. And then just to check in with you on a daily basis, because you're upgrading all the time, how do they stay in touch with you? Because I'm sure a lot of people who are listening are just going to put you on their daily list just to check in with what Talman's thinking about this right now.
Sure. Probably the easiest way to do that is to go to our company blog, which is overcomeeverything.com. That's the name of my company.
Yeah. Let's talk on a personal level. What's the transformation that's taken place? If we do a before and after, you've just had six businesses fail on you, and you know, everybody, I don't care how confident they are, does some measurement on themselves, and then you've gone through this transition, this transformation, where you really found a universe that works for you. It works for you personally, but it works for you from a professional standpoint. If I had to say the three real breakthroughs just in how Talman's looking at Talman, what would you say those are?
Well, number one is that at one point in time, I always go back to running. Long distance running has been a big, big influencer on me, and that'd be a whole nother conversation. But you know, I used to be the star runner on the team, literally. And when I started my internet business, I was also the star runner on the team. And now I am the coach of my team. And I still might be the fastest on my team, but the goal isn't for me to get faster. The goal is to train my team to get faster and to look at my team and my staff as saying, hey, where's the star runner? Who are the star runners on my team? And how can I get my whole team to get faster as a group and just be a really, really great coach in bringing them there? That is an extraordinary, extraordinary multiplier. And it involves a great deal of swallowing of pride and attempting to abandon ego to the degree that I can. Because when you focus your attention on really improving the strengths and the abilities of your team, it changes your perspective entirely. In the case of running, a lot of coaches used to be the fastest and they got older and they're no longer the fastest and they try to transfer their knowledge onto their team. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. And as I do it more and more, I find that our profits continue to soar. So that's a very exciting piece. Mm-hmm. The second piece really comes from some of the things I've learned from Strategic Coach, because the whole concept of unique ability, I'm always a work really hard, you know, push as hard as I possibly can kind of a guy, and I love opposition. If I'm not good at something, if I fall down and fail at it, I use that to fuel the fire. And that's great to get you certain places. But what I've found is the more that I can apply unique ability in my business and the more that I can transfer my personal unique ability and the components of that out to my employees so my company can now kind of raise the bar on my own personal unique ability, that's allowing us to make so much more money, so much more easily, and so much more fun. And that's something, you know, since I first got involved with Strategic Coach, that has made a huge, huge, huge difference, not only in my state of mind, but in our bottom line profits as well. We have several projects going now with other businesses and other companies where we're writing the emails for them and generating huge amounts of profits without creating product, without fulfilling on product, without dealing with customer support or customer service, without going through the sales process, without doing any of these things. We're just writing interesting emails and making money hand over fist because we like writing interesting emails. You know, I can do that, you know, asleep. I can do it at 4 a.m. and so can half of my staff now. So again, that's transference of unique ability in a very different way, but that's really, really helping us to grow. And the third thing is, you know, before with, you know, failing businesses and now with very successful multi-million dollar company, is not only can I run my business from anywhere in the world as long as I have a laptop and a cell phone connection, which is great when I could work from anywhere in the world. My business has started evolving and transforming as I focused more on my team, where not only can I work from anywhere in the world, now I can go anywhere in the world and not work. And my business and the skill sets within my company, as I've focused more on coaching and more on transferring my own skill sets out to my staff, the more I do that, the more my company can run on its own and in many cases now can beat what I used to be able to do as an individual. And that took a lot of work, but it's really paying off now to be able to see us generating, in some cases, more money when I'm away than when I'm there. So those, I guess, would be the three big things.
What, you know, I think a lot of people just find fascinating when they hear how you run your company, it's a virtual company, isn't
right.
it? Yeah, so they're spread out how far?
Well, right now, let's see, I live in Vermont. I have one guy in San Francisco, so that's obviously on the other side of the country. I have another guy in the UK, a bunch of people up and down the East Coast, a couple people in Wyoming. So, I mean, spread all across the country and then in the UK as far as a 6-hour flight away in either direction. So that's a very cool thing. Everybody works from home with the exception of my personal assistant, and they live right around the corner. So it's a very nice thing. It has its own set of challenges, but the beauty of running a virtual company is, number one, I'm no longer constrained on who I can hire by where they live, which means I can have more people doing things that they truly love and enjoy doing in an environment that they're most comfortable in. The biggest hurdle is getting them to be as productive in an environment in which they're comfortable because there's not constantly someone, you know, looking over their shoulder. But as soon as they get integrated into my company, I've found that that works really, really well as long as you hire people with a strong degree of commitment, good work ethic, and people that you really like.
Yeah. One of the things that really strikes me, and we're experiencing this ourselves at The Coach, is that the more I enter your world, because I came from a different world, the great strength that I bring to the world is that I'm a really good coach and I understand coaching structures. And so that's pretty well applicable to everybody's business. But one of the things that I'm noticing is that the center of the universe for me is really shifting very, very quickly to where it's basically unique ability and technology. And all your previous notions of organizational structures and how things are supposed to be organizing are really shifting. I know you're a student of society, and I know that from time to time you really step back and look at just what is the impact of this new universe and everything else. Do you have any thoughts, because you're in touch with so many other people who are working this new work style and living this new lifestyle, could you talk about a little bit, a few trends that you're seeing in some of the more advanced people here?
I don't know if this is a new shift or a new concept in my thinking or something that's going on universally. But one of the big pieces that people always ask me is, well, how is money actually made? One of the things that I've found is really, really important is that you look at money as a byproduct. Money is really a byproduct of helping people, right? And when you start talking about, well, how can you help people in intangible ways, that really opens the playing field in terms of how much money you can make, because value is all in the eye of the beholder, right? And especially if you're talking about any type of information marketing, or if you're talking about delivering value through the transference of information, whether it's audio, whether it's video, whether it's in the written word, now it's a matter of focusing and finding that target, the person who really needs and wants the information that you have the most, so that you can charge premium prices for it. And I mean, when you can sell an MP3 file for $4,000 or a handful of MP3 files for $4,000, it changes the entire world. It changes everything. You know, I used to sell jars of salsa for, you know, $4.20 and not make any money on it whatsoever. That took a lot more physical manpower and physical work in order to create. Even though it was great salsa, everybody loved it, there was an absolute value put on that product. And so as the information age takes off in a whole new way, basically your ability to name your own price on your product is entirely dependent on your ability to find and engage with people who really want it. And now that's open on a global scale. Not only today, but it's open into the foreseeable future. So everything you do today, any marketing message that you put out there today, is going to stay intact online for the rest of your life, and then the life of your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids and so on, until someone pulls the plug on the internet, which may or may not happen, I don't know. But that's a very interesting thing, whereas in the past, maybe you'd put a print ad in the newspaper and then eventually that newspaper would get thrown away. The internet doesn't get thrown away. Every single move you make now is a permanent imprint. So it creates a much longer tail on everything you say, everything you publish, everything you do. That's a very big piece. In terms of virtual companies, something that's also very interesting is that in most modern Western cultures right now, we're still in an economic downturn to some degree. And when you can now have 22 employees without having to pay rent on an office space, without having any of that physical overhead, it changes the game entirely on how your business model can work. So when I think about a business model, I have a whole series of web pages outlined in kind of a four-dimensional structure in my head. That's how I imagine a business, which is a lot more like a device, like a mechanism, like a little, you know, whirring widget of some sort, that, you know, like a little machine that produces money, again, as a byproduct of whatever that machine does. So money is the exhaust that comes out the end. Is, you know, it all depends on the efficiency of helping people with your machine. So those are some of the ways that I look at things as things are changing and growing and shifting in the world today.
One of the writers and thinkers that I've followed a lot is a guy out of Silicon Valley who essentially lives near Stanford University. His name is Paul Romer. And Paul Romer is considered in the forefront of what is called ideas economics. And he said that, you know, he says, up until now, all of economics has been based on the fact that if you have it, I don't have it. And your very example of how you got started with this by going around and interviewing all the other people who are already doing list building is, I think, a perfect example of what Paul Romer is talking about, is that none of those people lost anything by giving you their information.
Right. That's one of the beautiful parts, is that if someone implements your information and does something with it, in most cases, not in all, but in most cases, people are going to talk about how great your information was and how much of a wonderful impact it had on their lives, and they're going to generate customers for you. If you give someone information and they do nothing with it, it didn't cost you anything in order to get it out there. And so what ends up happening is, as more people consume your information, even if it's freely available, whether it's pirated or not, whether people are distributing it when you want them to or not, they all become free advertising agents for you if they're impressed and if they like what you're doing. It changes the entire world. And it is a constant struggle, though. It's the same struggle that we had with radio. And when radio first started and musicians started having their music played publicly, before they wanted it to be, right? Now, those very same MP3 files are being distributed freely all over the internet, and bands are still struggling with, hey, should or shouldn't my music be available freely online? And what many people are finding, not everyone, but what many people are finding, is that when people really like your stuff and they come across it, whether they pay for it or whether it was free, if they really like it, they want more. And as long as you keep on being prolific and you keep creating new stuff, people will want more and they'll pay more for it. So the interesting thing, though, that happens is as we enter the information age and information can be distributed more quickly and more easily, freely or not, people are starting to pay more for experiences, right? People are then wanting to go see the concert of the band. People are going to want to interact more with the people that they hear or see perform in whatever way, shape, or form. So it's a very interesting kind of self-perpetuating mechanism. As the information age grows and technology becomes more and more important, what becomes more desirable is a higher level of human interaction. So now you can start charging a more premium price for that experience.
Right. Another question. We've talked a lot about Telman being the coach, Telman being the teacher, Telman being the distributor of ideas, but where is Telman the student? How do you position yourself to keep track of what other people are doing, learning new things that are taking place? So in your own mind, how do you position that so that you get enough of that on an ongoing basis so that you're current?
Sure. Well, I'm constantly going through certainly books, constantly listening to audio programs, but I try to always be enrolled in some sort of a home study course or coaching program about marketing specifically. And ideally, if it's a beginning to end type of a program, as soon as I'm done implementing that course or that program, I go into another one. And I seek those out for things that will exponentially grow my business. So I look for weak points in my business. I say, where do we need to improve here? And then I go out and I find a coaching program or I find a home study program that's highly intensive that will help me to implement that piece in my business. Most of the time it works, and most of the time it grows my profits. And I have all of my staff do exactly the same thing.
And when you look at the future, you know, the big thing about strategic coach is the concept of always having a future that's bigger than your past. What do you see as constant that's going to probably remain the same no matter where you go in the future? And where do you see the changes that are probably going to take place?
The changes that I see are coming up is really two parts. One is we are changing right now from being an internet marketing company to being a publishing company, because we really always have been a publishing company, but I didn't realize it for a while. So we're going from strictly selling internet marketing training to really selling a wide variety of courses and programs on a wide variety of topics, because we've gotten so good at doing internet marketing stuff that we're now applying that knowledge and experience to other areas so that we're diversifying our product line very, very widely. So that's step one, is transitioning from internet marketing training company to wide-scale publishing company online. And the next piece is really the most exciting part, which just makes me incredibly, incredibly excited to think about, which is we're going to be becoming more of a business incubator company, where whenever I see opportunities or areas that I want to explore, whether it has to do with information publishing or not, we're going to be using internet marketing in order to create side businesses and use those businesses as examples to then reflect back to our internet marketing students about how we're applying these principles in all these different areas. That's tremendously, tremendously exciting, because basically what it means is I can take the core competencies that we've learned over the last several years and go anywhere that I want with business for the rest of my life and use those as examples to then show back to our internet marketing students about how you can apply these principles in a wide variety of topics that are seemingly completely unrelated. Because I'm just constantly thinking up new ideas that have nothing to do with each other except the core business model is all identical. Previously, I didn't have a way of illustrating that to my company or my students, but now I do. And that's very, very exciting. Basically, what it means is if there's an opportunity that I'm excited enough to move on and there's a person I can pair up with that's better at follow through than I am, I'm great at getting things started and getting things moving. As long as I can pair up those two things, then we can explore and try things on any topic imaginable, at very least for the rest of my life and probably for the rest of the lives of everyone involved in my company. So that's very exciting.
That's great. So just to wrap up here, Telman, again, I mean, I think that there's going to be an enormous number of people listening to this who are going to want to take the first steps, and you're the from my experience and from the feedback of other people in your very, very fast-growing industry, you're the ideal person to start the first steps with this. So again, the program that they should start with, just to start becoming familiar with that, if you would go over that again, and then also just to stay in touch with you on a daily basis.
Sure. Well, if people go to internetsellingsystem.com, they'll find a place to get on my email list there and find out what's going on and what we can do and how to enroll in our program. That's the simplest and easiest step to get started right away. You can also check out our company blog where we're constantly talking about new and interesting things going on the internet in terms of marketing, overcomeeverything.com. So internetsellingsystem.com is really the main focus.
So anyway, I just want to tell you what my experience has been like just sitting here. You know, I've known you now for a couple of years. Just sitting here listening to you talk, I have the feeling that I'm kind of in the presence of kind of like a, you know, if you could sit down and talk to Edison and Edison was talking about all sorts of things, or the people who are creating new technologies and they were talking about what's possible if we can do this and we can do this and it's going to require organizational changes in the world and it's going to bring about things. So I just want to tell you how appreciative I am that I have the opportunity to sit and pick your brain and be able to transmit your knowledge out to my world. And then we'll also be able to use this same recording to transmit it out to your world.
Well, the amount that I've learned from you and speaking with you in the past 2 years as well has been absolutely phenomenal. And just going through this process of seeing how you ask questions and how you look at things from different angles is tremendously, tremendously valuable to me personally. And I'm sure it will be extremely, extremely valuable and insightful for folks listening on my side of the fence as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
I hope you really enjoyed that. I know that I did. And what would be really, really wonderful is if you let me know your thoughts on what you think about that interview. And you know, what do you think was the most impactful thing? What was the biggest aha? What was the biggest realization that you had in your life as a result of some of the questions and answers that we just went over? Go ahead and leave those in the comments below. And I will talk with you about the next video coming up. It's coming up in just a couple of days, and I think you're really, really, really going to love it. It's about how we somehow managed to achieve a 5x result, a 500% increase in customer value to allow us to identify how to find the perfect customers that will not only be far, far, far more valuable to you, but will help actually spread the word about your business because they love what you're doing so much. So we're going to be going over that in just a couple of days. So please keep an eye on your inbox for an email from me letting you know all about that. Until then, leave a comment below. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Bye.